doing tonight. The title would be Hot and Cold and Hot and Cold and Hot, etc., etc., etc. Lessons for the Children of Adam, or Adam. And so what we're going to find out is history is very important. And so why we learn history is so we don't repeat the same thing. So why Yahweh record history is the same reason. So our objective is to, what Yahweh does is we teach our children, our children's children, and our children's children's children. So at least go to three or four generations. You never take it too lightly. So we're going to begin in Nehemiah 9, page 1, or 487.
You said page 487?
Yes. Now remember Nehemiah, can anybody give me a breakdown of Nehemiah's time frame? Where are we in Nehemiah?
Esther?
That's right. Which is
approximately
what has happened? Captivity? What kind of captivity?
Persian?
Persian captivity. So all of Israel, including Judah, has fallen. And so in our history, we look at Abram, which is, or people would say Abram, but it's really Abram, and Ab means father. That's 430, that is 1921 B.C. Think of him going to Moses, which is 1491 B.C., so we're talking about 430 years there, just between Abram and Moses. Then we go into Solomon, so between Moses and Solomon is 571 years. Now we go from Solomon to Nehemiah, which is 516 years.
Oh,
so we think about it between Abram and Nehemiah, it's approximately 1517 years, 1,500. So if we went back 1517, this would be 500 A.D. And who was alive in 500 A.D.? I don't think Mama was, but it is. A good figure would be Martin Luther. So Martin Luther did his Reformation in the early 500s. But 1,500 years ago is a long time ago. So we're looking at history and people repeating the same wickedness, the same wickedness, the same wickedness.
Wait, so what year B.C. would it be during Nehemiah's time?
So we're talking about 404 B.C., about 400 years before Christ. They've seen it all. A great point. They know the Israelite history.
And they lived a long time. So they
yes.
See.
And so this is 9, verse 6. I've got about 2 days of teaching. I'm going to try to get into one. So, might go fast and might skip a lot of things, but give you the verse references. But
nine,
these are
what?
Very important. Six. Chapter 9, verse 6. And so here they are. They've come back from Persia. Yahweh has delivered them by Cambyses, which is called Darius Artaxerxes, who is a father, to the best of our knowledge, is the father of Cyrus, the husband of Esther. That's who Nehemiah was working for. So Cambyses, which is Cyrus's father, just another name for Cyrus's father. Artaxerxes and Darius are names like Pharaoh and Caesar and Augustus. They're just terms. They're usually represent the king. Titles, So he allowed them to go back to Jerusalem. Very important. So Nehemiah is a tremendous leader. And so they're there, and here's what the prayer is. Thou art Yahweh, thou alone. So all the people are there, and they're saying this prayer to everybody who's there, who, if you look at the beginning of it, in the first part of the chapter, they read the word, reading the law for a quarter of the day, and then they repented for a quarter of the day. And so, why do we learn these things? It's because of what's happening today. We're doing the same compromises, the sliding down the slippery slope of destruction. And we never want to get to that point where they basically annihilated themselves. So here is what they're doing. Verse 6, Thou art Yahweh, Thou alone. Thou didst make the heavens and the heavens of heavens and all their hosts, the earth and all that is therein, the seas and all that is therein, and Thou holdest them up in life, and the hosts of the heavens unto Thee are bowing down. Isn't this great wording? Thou art Yahweh, Elohim, who didst choose Abram and brought him forth out of Ur of the Chaldees and made his name Abraham, and didst find his heart's faithful before Thee, and didst solemnize with him a covenant to give the land of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, and the Girgashites, to give it unto his seed, and didst confirm Thy words for righteous Thou art. So we're going through history. This is the history course. Yea, Thou sawest the affliction of our fathers in Egypt, and their outcry. Thou heardest by the Red Sea, and did grant signs and wonders against Pharaoh and against all his servants and against all the people of his land. For Thou hast taken note that they ruled proudly over them, and so Thou didst make them a name as at that day. And the sea didst Thou cleave asunder before them, and they passed through the midst of the sea on dry ground, whereas their pursuers Thou didst cast into the depths like a stone into the mighty waters. So this is good for Melania and Elijah and the rest of us, that we should be able to talk this same way to our children's children's children, to tell them the story. Mm-hmm. And in a pillar of cloud didst Thou lead them by day, and in a pillar of fire by night to light up from them the way wherein they should go. And upon Mount Sinai camest Thou down and spakest with them out of the heavens, and gave them just regulations and faithful laws, good statutes and commandments. And Thy holy Sabbath didst Thou make known to them, and commandments and statutes and the law didst Thou command them through Moses Thy servant. And bread out of the heavens did Thou give them for their hunger, and water out of the cliffs did Thou bring them for their thirst, and bade'st them go in to take possession of the land which Thou hast lifted Thy hand to give them. And they and our fathers dealt proudly, and hardened their neck, and hearkened not unto Thy commandments, but refused to hearken, neither kept in mind Thy wonders which Thou hast done with them. But they hardened their necks, and appointed a head that they might return to the servitude in their perverseness. Isn't that something? Yeah. And that's the same way we've got many times, same situation. But Thou art an Eloah of forgiveness, gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and abounding in hesed, and does not forsake them. Yea, although they made them a molten calf and said, This is Thy Elohim that brought Thee out of Egypt. And so you're looking at, and so you're like, where are we doing this today? Same situation. And wrought great insults, yet Thou in Thine abounding compassions didst not forsake them in the desert. The pillar of cloud departed not from over them by day to lead them in the way, nor the pillar of fire by night to light up for them the way wherein Thou shouldst go. And Thy good Ruach Thou gavest to instruct them, and thy manna Thou withheldest not from their mouth, and water Thou gavest them for their thirst. For 40 years didst Thou sustain them in the desert. They lacked nothing. Their mantles waxed not old, and their feet swelled not. And Thou gavest them kingdoms and people, and allotted to each of them a corner, and they took possession of the land of Sihon, and the land of the king of Heshbon, and the land of Og, king of Bashan. Their children also did Thou multiply like the stars of the heavens, and didst bring them into the land which Thou hast promised their fathers they should enter to possess. So their children entered and possessed the land, and Thou subduest before them the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, and deliverest them into their land, and with their king and the people of the land to do with them according to their pleasure. And they captured fortified cities and a fat spoil. And took possession of houses full of good things, wells digged, vineyards and olive yards and fruit trees in abundance. So this is a furnished house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not only furnished, you had a house and a furnished, and it had a garden, and it had crops. in abundance, so they did eat and were filled and became fat and luxuriated in thy great goodness. And that's one of our lessons, is this is when trouble happens, when we have prosperity, when we're rich. Because we think we forgot how we got rich, and we think many times it's because of our great ability that we got rich. And then it would go on where things start happening. So we're going to look at the things that started happening. We know with Solomon's prosperity, so they're in the land of Israel, they've got it. King David had conquered all the land from the Euphrates down to Egypt, like Yahweh promised him. So Solomon took over that also. But then we know in the last part of Solomon's old age, what was his problem, Melania?
He won against Yahweh.
How?
He took too many wives. He went and got horses out of Egypt.
Okay. What about these wives?
They had fake pagan gods, and he made temples for them.
Okay, so that's where he slid back down. Solomon, who's seen Yahweh appear to him twice, made him richer than anybody, wiser than anybody. In his prosperity, he fell. And it went big. So, this was prophesied by Moses for turning against Yahweh. So if you go to Leviticus 26, that's page 153. So, obviously, Moses is way before Solomon.
Leviticus what? So,
24. Yeah, Leviticus chapter 26.
Over 500 years before Solomon.
Yeah, we're talking about, 571 years before Solomon. The United States is about 250 years old, something like that. This is 571 years. So you think, well, how did they do something so stupid? Well, we're talking about 570 years.
Yeah.
But Solomon did it in probably
40.
He went from a very high to a very low, where Yahweh had to take 10 of the tribes away from him. So 26, let's see here, get there. So when do you want to read 1 through 4?
Chapter 26?
Yes.
You shall not make unto you idols, neither image nor pillar shall you set up for yourselves. Nor sculptured stone shall ye place in your land to bow yourself down thereunto. For I, Yahweh, am your God, your Elohim. My Sabbath shall ye observe, and my sanctuary shall ye revere. I am Yahweh.
Go to 4.
If in my statutes ye will walk, and my commandments ye will observe and do them, then will I give your rains in their season, and the land shall yield her increase. And the trees of the field shall yield their fruit.
And it's going to be prosperity, 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 condition. And so when people say God loves you unconditionally, you know, I don't know what that means. It's never in the scripture. But to be blessed by Yahweh is conditional.
Yeah.
Very simply, you must meet the conditions for the blessing. And if not, he cannot bless you, and somebody who will try to bless you with what he has is Satan or Satan, the adversary, and the rest of the world around you. They would love to interject and not be held back by your righteousness and goodness. And ministry spirits protecting you. So now we go to verse 14. So Melania, read 14 to 17.
Okay. But if you will not hearken unto me...
Now here is... We're going to go into four stages. Yahweh's going to say, you hearken to me, you got this. If you do not hearken to me, this is stage one. This is stage one. So you can almost put over here stage one. Go ahead.
But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if my statutes you refuse and my regulations your souls shall abhor, so that ye will not do all my commandments, but shall break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will set over you for terror,
conception
and fever, causing the eyes to fail and the soul to pine away. And ye shall sow in vain your seed, for it shall be eaten by your foes. And I will set my face against you, ye shall be smitten before your foes. Ye be trodden down by them who hate you, and shall flee when no one is pursuing you.
Let me stop there. That's stage one. Then you should turn. Alright, this is enough for us. We're sorry, Yahweh. Forgive us. And we'll start doing what you're doing. But if you do not, we're going to go into stage two. And that's 18 through 22. You want to read that, Elijah? 18 to 22.
18 to 22. And if even with these things ye will not hearken to, then will I set further correct you seven times for your sins. So I will break your pomp of power, and will set your heavens as iron, and your hand, and your land as bronze, and your strength shall be spent in vain, and your land shall not yield her increase, and the trees of the land shall not yield their fruit. If therefore ye will go in opposition to me, and will not be willing to hearken to me, then will I yet further plague you seven times according to your sins, and will send among you the wild beasts of the field, and it shall rob you of your children, and cut off your cattle, and make you few in number, and your roads shall be silent.
Wow. So this is getting very serious. And we've got to realize the same thing could happen today. It does happen. We're going to go into stage three, but I'm watching some of the history of World War II. And when you're looking at godless countries like Germany and Russia fighting each other, you know, Germany and Russia, and they take 250 or 300,000 prisoners, and what ended up back in Germany is 5,000 after the war. So what do you think of godless people? Do you think they're going to feed 300,000 prisoners? No, especially the ones who attacked you. And so, yeah, but this is that wickedness, the godlessness, and when you look at all the stuff that's happening, this is nothing new. But we must learn from it. Now we're going into stage three. And if by these things you will not be corrected by me, but will go in opposition to me, then will I also go in opposition to you, and I, even I, will plague you seven times for your sins, and will bring in upon you a sword that shall afflict the covenant avenging. So shall you be gathered into your cities. Then will I send a pestilence into your midst, and you shall be delivered into the land of an enemy. When I have broken you off staff of bread, then shall 10 women bake you bread in one oven, and give back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not be filled. So that's called starvation. You're starving. You got famine going on. Now we got stage four.
Well, I'm getting excited.
Yeah. And if this, you will not hearken to me, as you can see each time. And if you don't do this, by this time, if the pressure, and this really happened with Egypt, right? Mm-hmm. So first, what we did is, river turned to blood, water turned to blood. My hand went into leprosy. We got a serpent. Any more? They should have said, that's it. You are, Yahweh's your God. How do we become one of you guys? Yeah. Oh, we have to do what he wants us to do? No, Jose, because we're going to live the hell with you, God. And just escalation until it ended with what kind? What was the final plague? Elijah?
Children dying?
That's right. The firstborn.
First
that's right. You will submit. You will submit. And this is all the way right down to in our life, too, with the second death, which is the lake of fire. Stage four. And if this with you, you will not hearken to me, but will go in opposition to me, then will I go in a rage of opposition to you. Wow. Do you want a rage from Yahweh? Now think of that. This guy can bring the heat. And I, even I, will correct you seven times for your sins, and you shall eat the flesh of your sons. And how do you eat the flesh of your sons? Because people are starving you out. And when you're in a big city, Jerusalem, they surrounded the city for a year until you ran out of food. And then you have to start eating people. And that's what God's people allowed to happen, which we're going to see. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and even the flesh of your daughters shall you eat, and I will destroy your high places, and cut down your sun pillars, and cast your carcass under the carcass of your manufactured gods. Thus shall my soul abhor you. We'll just stop there, and you can keep reading on. Now, this is for adults. Okay. This is some of these things that are going on right now. You guys will teach you about. You guys can share that. And that. So this is from the. This is from the CDC, the Center for. You can see what happens when you have fornication, which Yahweh says, "Don't fornicate." So how many? They're not even sure what these are. How many cases of chlamydia do they have? And for this is 2016.
And this is it, just
ahead,
in the
Elijah.
United States.
1.59 million.
No, 1.5 million. Right? Almost 1.6 million new cases of chlamydia.
New cases.
Yeah, the population of the United States is 300 million. These are new cases. How much on gonorrhea?
468,514.
Imagine that, 468,000 new cases of gonorrhea. And this is what is being taught in our public schools. This is sex education, which is causing this. And what about syphilis?
27,814.
Okay. Now look at the map. That's the syphilis map. All right? And which I'm putting on our website. And if you look at the bottom, go ahead and read that, Tim. About syphilis.
As has been observed in previous years, in 2016, the rate of reported PNS syphilis cases among men, 15.6 cases per 100,000 males, was much higher than the rate among women, 1.9 cases per 100,000 females. And men accumulated for a larger majority, 88.9% of PNS syphilis cases among men, and the rate of PNS syphilis has increased every year since 2000. During 2015 to 2016, the rate among men increased 14.7. In contrast, the PNS syphilis rate among women fluctuated between 0.8 and 1.7 cases per 100,000 females during 2000 to 2012, but has increased substantially since 2012. During 2012 to 2016, the PNS syphilis rate among women rose more than doubled, increased 111.1%. During 2015 to 2016, the PNS syphilis rate among women increased 35.7.
Got all of it?
Yeah.
Okay. So you see what happens with the schools are teaching, and this is all has to do with sexual intercourse or sexual fornication. The Yahweh says flee fornication. And these are the ramifications of when you disobey Yahweh, and our government actually encourages this, and our schools are actually teaching this to facilitate children. And when you start looking at the ages from like age 15 to 19, it's huge on homosexuality, which they will call gay. It has nothing to do with being gay. It's called sodomy, and it's killing people.
Can I say something real quick, too?
Yeah.
This is recent. California just passed a law that if somebody knowingly gives somebody else AIDS, it is no longer a felony.
Wow.
In California. Just passed. This week.
Actually, that's California, yeah. So it just shows you. They made it legal to spread AIDS.
Deliberately.
Knowingly. Right. That's right.
And this is what we're studying, that this is happening in the United States, very simply. These are reported cases. Now we go to Jeremiah. Let's go to Leviticus 25. We're Leviticus 26. Let's go to 25.
Chapter 25?
Yeah, chapter 25, 1 through 7. And Wendy, can you read 1 through 7?
Mm-hmm. And Yahweh spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, speak unto the sons of Israel, and thou shalt say unto them, when ye enter into the land which I am giving you, and then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto Yahweh. 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and 6 years shalt thou prune thy vineyard, and gather the increase thereof. But in the seventh year a Sabbath of sacred rest shall there be unto the land, a Sabbath unto Yahweh. Thy field shalt thou not sow, and thy vineyard shalt thou not prune. That which groweth of itself of thy harvest shalt thou not reap, and the grapes of thine unpruned vine shalt thou not cut off. A year of sacred rest shall there be to the land. So shall the Sabbath of the land be unto you for food. Unto thee and unto thy servant and unto thy handmaid and unto thy hireling and unto the, thy settlers that are sojourning with thee and unto thy tame beasts and unto thy wild beasts that are in thy land shall belong all the increase thereof for food.
So, we're getting to see what Yahweh says. Every 7 years you quit growing. This is the seventh year of the Sabbath. Gives you a little context. Now we go to Jeremiah, page 747, Jeremiah 29. Now remember, Jeremiah is the end of Judah falling. So Jeremiah 29. Page 747. We're going to read 10 through 14. So here is Yahweh's people. These are the people who are supposed to be worshiping Yahweh. For thus saith Yahweh, that as soon as there are fulfilled to Babylon 7 years. So they're in captivity. This is where they've been eating their children. They're surrounded. Nebuchadnezzar is there, destroying them. And so now Jeremiah gets an instruction of how long this captivity is going to last, and it's 70 years. I'll start at 10 again. For thus said Yahweh, that as soon as there are fulfilled to Babylon 70 years, I will visit you and establish for you my good word by causing you to return unto this place. Is that a good timeout box?
Yeah.
Now think of that. In hockey, if you have a penalty, you go sit in the corner.
Yep.
Right? It's called your timeout box. This is 70 years, and you're going to be servants for 70 years. I'm going to let you think about this. And what you're paying back is all the Sabbaths, because do you think they allowed the land to go,
no.
You know, didn't they harvest on the seventh year? Yes, they did. And they plowed on the seventh year. They didn't pay anything attention to it at all. So this is 10 Sabbaths every 7 years, 70 years. And here's Yahweh. For I know the plans which I am planning for you, declareth Yahweh, plans of welfare and not of calamity, to give you a future and a hope. So even Yahweh, after all this, is telling people, you're not done. And so Jeremiah is relaying this to the people who have been taken captive, because not everybody's evil. And so a lot of times we suffer from the evil, I suppose probably Christians, with Hitler under the reign and couldn't get out of the country. And so there are good people out there, and the prophets were Daniel and Ezekiel. And so there's great people there, and I won't go there, but Daniel receives this information in Daniel 9, 1 through 4, and he learns about the 70 years. So Daniel's one of those people. The consequences for Daniel was he was castrated and became a prisoner because he was under the eunuchs. The chief of the eunuchs, what is he, a chief of the eunuchs? He's a castrator. And so if you're going into being the king's male, being in the king's service, you're not going to have any access to his fillies. And so you're castrated. Yeah, those are girls. So that's why they end up doing that. And now we're going to look at, okay, well, here's this history. This is Jeremiah. So this is the fall. Now we're going to look at the 10 tribes. This was Israel who fell, you know, because of Solomon's reign. And that goes into 2 Kings 17, which is page 400. 2 Kings 17.
What chapter?
Chapter 17.
And what verse?
Verse 7 to 17.
400.
So these give us the conclusion and why this thing happened the way it did. And you see on right above verse 7 on the Rothman, it says a review of the causes leading to Israel's downfall. So these are our lessons. And would you read Wendy until you want to stop? We're going to go from 7 to 17, 10 verses.
And thus it came to pass that Israel sinned against Yahweh their God, or thou Elohim, who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, from under the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Yea, they did reverence to other gods and walked in the statutes of the nations whom Yahweh had dispossessed from before the sons of Israel, and in the statutes of the kings of Israel, which they had made. And the sons of Israel did secretly things which were not right against Yahweh their God, and built for themselves high places in all their cities, from the watchman's tower to the fortified tower. And they set up for themselves pillars and sacred stems upon every hill, every high hill, and under every green tree, and burned incense there in all the high places, like the nations whom Yahweh drove out from before them, and did things that were wicked, so as to provoke Yahweh to anger. And they served the manufactured gods, as to which Yahweh had said to them, "You shall not do this thing." And Yahweh testified against Israel and against Judah through all his prophets, every one who had a vision, saying, "Turn ye from your wicked ways and keep my commandments, my statutes, according to all the law which I commanded your fathers, and which I sent unto you through my servants the prophets." Well, you want to read that?
Yahweh always sends his prophets to give people chances. Turn.
I'm going to have Esther.
Okay, 14 to 17.
"Howbeit they hearken not, but stiffen their neck, like the neck of their fathers, who trusted not in Yahweh their God, but rejected his statutes and his covenant, which he solemnized with their fathers, and his testimonies wherewith he testified against them, and followed vanity, and became vain, and followed the nations that were round about them, as to whom Yahweh charged them, so that they should not do like them, but they forsook all the commandments of Yahweh their God, and made for themselves something molten, two cows, and made a sacred stem, and bowed themselves down to all the army of the heavens, and they served Baal, and made their sons and their daughters pass through the fire, and used divine nations,
divinations
and enchantments, and sold themselves to the thing that was wicked in the eyes of Yahweh, provoking him to wrath."
So how do we apply this today to us? So let's just think of some wickedness that we're doing, that the nations do around us. Child support is wickedness. Very simply. If going to where you have to go to an unbeliever is wickedness, is sin. When a husband and wife separate or get divorced, so just child support itself is stealing. Because they would never want to reverse it, but as the nations, and they say, well, the judge allows me to do this, so I can do this. Here's just the Democratic Party, say, for instance. Okay, so if you're a Christian and a member of the Democratic Party or voted, you are breaking 7 of the 10 commandments. And this is just around us, and they go to church. They're in the church. I mean, they're pastors. And a lot of the black church is completely with this. So what we have is, they have two gods, which is Yahweh and government. Government gives me things. They promise to give me things. That's why I'm a Democrat, because they're going to give me something. That's the first commandment you broke. The second commandment, you got no images, which you've got the Trinity. The sixth commandment is murder, which is abortion. The seventh commandment is adultery or sodomy, sexual immorality. You do that. You allow that. The eighth is you steal by the estate tax. You take money from the wealthy. The ninth, bear false witness. Just, you know, it goes everywhere. They lie all the time. And the tenth, covet not thy neighbor's good, which you want to take money from the rich. So right now, any Protestant and Catholic, you know, who is part of the Democratic Party, is breaking 7 of the 10 commandments if they're Trinitarians. Just that simple. So it does pertain to us. Our shows are, are there to break us down sexually, as I was trying to show that to Melania, with fornication just being part of basically about every show there is. Yeah. And marriage is exception rather than the rule. So fornication, and so we just get desensitized. I'm trying to explain to her what desensitization is. where at first it offends us, and after a while it doesn't offend us. So when I was younger, I was very desensitized, you know. And you broke into it because all of a sudden cable came along, and there was no X-rated or R-rated anything on TV or movies, and you wouldn't go to an X-rated movie. But now they're right in your house, right after Disneyland, Disney World. You know, you have Cinemax and HBO and all these other things, and all of a sudden they put you into that situation. Before you know it, you're not turning it off. And it's desensitizing you and corrupting you. So that's what we're trying to teach you guys. We're in a dark world in the United States, which is a great place, but darkness is continually trying to take us and sweep us away. And like you said, just in California, they're doing that all the time. Now we go to, that was the fall of the Ten Tribes. And for people in the future, if they want to go to other places, from Jeroboam to Hosea, that's how long it took for the Ten Tribes to fail. It was 269 years. And like I said, with the United States will not fail from without. It will fail from within. And Abraham Lincoln said that. So they said, I saw another thing on Facebook. It says, ISIS is not a threat to the United States. The Democratic Party absolutely is a threat to the United States, which we know that too. So if you want to go to the Ten Tribes and learn more about the history, Psalms 105, Psalms 106, Ezra chapter 9. Now we're going to go to the fall of Judah time, and that's Jeremiah 5, verse 1, and that's 717. And we have to speak up like the prophets. It's very simply, you have to tell people, no, you can't do that. Well, my mother did that, and everybody around me is doing that. Well, very simply, like women with child support. If you wanted to reverse the role, would you reverse it? And what would the women say?
No.
No. Then you're not loving your neighbor as yourself. I mean, so you're breaking the second commandment right off the bat. All right? So I've got a paper on that. If you can't afford the kids, let it go with the other spouse who can't afford it. Mm-hmm. Until you can do that or work something out. But I mean, this wickedness of breaking up families over money. And so now women are actually encouraged by maybe their girlfriends to say, hey, you can get a paycheck from this guy for 18 years if it comes down mm-hmm. to that. I mean, how wicked is that? And that's the world and what we call the judicial system. But it has nothing to do with justice. Actually, they just don't want that person applying for welfare through them. So they just imprison the husband. What they do is just wickedness. And we've never been exposed to it because, and I saw one thing too, the silence of the church is deafening.
Yeah.
Where's your stand on sodomy? Not preached. Where's their stand on abortion? Not preached. Where's their stand on, child support? And getting divorced before the believers. It's all through the scriptures. Mm-hmm. It's silence, silence, silence. So we can't depend on the church at all. Neither could you depend on Jerusalem. By the priests and the high priest and everybody else, the prophets would come in. And what happened to them? They usually got killed.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to see that. Jeremiah 5. People didn't like Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And it's like Micaiah too. So we have to be a Micaiah. And Micaiah was with Ahab. And he says, he never says anything good about me. And he tells me what I want to hear.
Yeah.
You say they don't have many friends on Facebook?
Yeah. Then,
not
yeah,
a lot of likes.
Not a lot of likes.
Last year?
Yeah. Uh-huh. You just got to lessen. You got to lighten up, guys. Go with the flow. Yeah. This is part E. Until you realize you have no idea. You're actually allowing people to give you bracelets.
Israel and John are the ones that point that out to me.
They're called handcuffs. Look at these nice bracelets. I'm going to put them on for you. Hey, they got rhinestones on them. They're gold painted. They look really nice. Everybody's got them. Let's put them on. And then you are a slave. And that's called communism. That's called socialism. That, you know, and the NFL has tried to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened to them?
Mm-hmm.
They're being hauled away as slaves.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to fight back. Okay, Jeremiah 5 verse 1. Now watch this. This is Jeremiah. He's living there. God, he's going to have to have great rewards. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem. Is Jerusalem Yahweh's place?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I pray you, and know and seek out in the broad place thereof where you can find a man. Where there is one doing justice, demanding fidelity, that I may pardon her. Give me one guy.
Yeah.
And this is what Yahweh, this is what Yahweh told Abraham about Sodom. Give me 10 people.
Yeah.
And I won't destroy it. Out of thousands of people, I can't find 10 people. How many people were righteous in Sodom?
Eight.
No?
Is it eight?
Six. Four? Wait, three, because Lot has two sons.
Yeah.
I mean, daughters.
Yeah, Lot has two daughters. His wife turned back. So you have three. May I pardon her, even though they say, by the life of Yahweh. Are these guys religious? Yes, by the life of Yahweh. Are people going to church religious? By the life of Yahweh. They go there and they show up every time. Yet, in fact, falsely do they swear, O Yahweh, thy own eyes, are they not directed to fidelity? Thou hast smitten them, yet have they not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces bolder than a cliff. They have refused to return. Let's see here. And I said, only poor people are they. They act foolishly, if they know not the way of Yahweh, the justice of your Elohim. I will betake me unto you, unto the great men, and I will speak with them. For they know the way of Yahweh, the justice of their Elohim. But they, with one accord, have broken the yoke, torn off the bands. For this cause hath the lion out of the forest smitten them, the wolf of the waste plains preyed upon them. Hey, was this prophesied in Leviticus?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so this was prophesied 500 years. The leper is keeping watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out from thence is torn in pieces, for they have multiplied their transgression. Numerous are their apostasies. And so we can read this all the way to verse 18, which we won't. And so the fall of Judah, which took about 150 years after Israel fell, you can look at Lamentations 1, 1 through 5, and also Zechariah chapter 8, or chapter 7, 8 through 14. The hope is, well, that sure is depressing. What is our hope? The hope is, even with godless governments, Yahweh still works. And we had Joseph with Egypt, became the second man. We have Daniel with Babylon, became the second in charge. We have Mordecai and Esther with Persia, became the second in charge. We have Obadiah, who worked with Ahab undercover. Mm-hmm. And that's a wicked government was Israel, Obadiah. And that's 1 Kings 18:3. We have Naaman, who worked undercover for Syria, which is 2 Kings chapter 5. So what we want to look at is these are our heroes. These are our mediators who wept and pleaded for Yahweh for grace and leniency. Abram was. He pleaded for Lot and his family, right, as a mediator. Mm-hmm. We know Moses did for Yahweh not destroying all the people. We know we see Daniel praying for all of Israel and repenting of their sins.
Yeah.
Not his sins, but of their sins in chapter 9. We see, obviously, David as a mediator also. And he ended up by praying and putting an altar on Mount Moriah on the threshing floor. It stopped the plague. Maybe you'll say he started the plague. I don't think so. I think it's just the opposite. It appears that way, but Yahweh never reproves him for account for numbering.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think the thousands, 30,000 people died from the plague, and by doing that, the angel of death stopped. And so that was a mediation. And we're going to look at one other one, which I think is very good. Well, Nehemiah was a mediator. Got some time? Nehemiah, just give you an example. If you go back to Nehemiah, and everybody sees this, they've been in captivity, they all make an oath. We're going to obey Yahweh, we're going to obey Yahweh, and we all sign the paper, and then Jeremiah goes back to Persia for a while and comes back, and guess what?
They're doing the same thing.
There's merchandise going on the Sabbath day.
Mm-hmm.
The Levites, who they're supposed to be taking care of, had to leave and go back to the fields because nobody's bringing in tithes. And so it just washed what Nehemiah does. But does Nehemiah say, oh, you're getting closer, though? No, he'd grab people by the beard and pull their beard out. He'd throw them out. So here was the big dog coming in, not messing. Yeah, I mean, so and he says, the people, if you're going to deal on the Sabbath day, we're going to, you're not allowed to work on the Sabbath day. And if you hang around those gates, we're going to go after you. And so you see a man's man. Guess what? Did anybody like Nehemiah?
No.
All right. So are we Nehemiahs? Can you
yes.
can you take the position of a Nehemiah where you say, it's not happening on my watch?
Yeah.
And a lot of people get killed for that, but we must be able to say, it's not happening on my watch. All right, I'm going to speak up. I'm going to be at the Nehemiah. I'm going to be the Jeremiah. I'm going to be the David, and on and on and on. But we go to Phinehas. How did Phinehas do? Look at Numbers chapter 25. Got to put the page number down. So we've got Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers.
Deuteronomy.
Yeah. It's after Numbers. Numbers chapter 25. And this is a great guy. And so we've got to take a stand, folks. I mean, you've got to take a stand against our heathenistic family members and our heathenistic friends to say, it doesn't fly here. Well, you guys are so not with it. Whatever. That's right. We separate ourselves from the nations. Okay, 1 through 13. And Israel remained among the Acadians, and the people began to go away unchastely unto the... This is when Israel is in the wilderness and Balaam is trying to curse them. And, you know, Balaam, I don't know, he gets three chapters. He gets a lot of writing. So interesting. It's only in Numbers. Go unchastely unto the daughters of Moab. And Moab was Lot's child, and that Ob means father of my father. I think it's Moab is my father. So Balaam said, we can't curse Israel. They're walking in the wilderness, so they're not in the land of Canaan. But here's what we can do. We can seduce them with sex. Mm-hmm. And how apparent is that in our society today?
Yeah.
The downfall of all of these is usually built around sexual immorality.
Yeah.
Sexual immorality outside of marriage. And that is, and this is where you see all this, these actions right here.
Solomon.
You know, all these diseases. Yeah, you're looking at Solomon and you start watching the people. And, you know, with the gods, they played with Aaron making their gods, they're sporting.
Even David, when he blew it and his son died, it was because of sexual immorality.
Yeah, so look at this. Okay, let's start again. And Israel remained among the Acadians, and the people began to go away unchastely unto the daughters of Moab, who invited the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. Does it sound familiar, like to Solomon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the people did eat, did bow themselves down unto their gods. Thus Israel let himself be bound unto Baal Peor, and the anger of Yahweh kindled upon Israel. And Yahweh said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and crucify them unto Yahweh in the face of the sun, that the heat of the anger of Yahweh may turn away from Israel. And Moses said unto the judges of Israel, slay each one his man who had let themselves be bound unto Baal Peor. Is that popular?
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody loved Moses? They would today. They wouldn't allow him in their church.
Yeah.
I mean, really simple. And in most churches today, they wouldn't like Christ in their church. Because Christ said, hey, why aren't you speaking in tongues? And you can't. That's from the devil. Why do you have three gods? We don't have three gods.
Why are you voting
we have
Democrat?
We have three persons and one God. Heretic! Throw him out! Yeah, why are you voting Democrats? You can't tell me how to vote. And Christ would be ejected from the majority of all churches. Just like he was then, which we're going to see. Verse 6. And lo, a man of the sons of Israel. Now watch this. These people are being dealt with to death. And here's another Israelite. And lo, a man of the sons of Israel coming in who brought near unto his brethren a Midianite woman before the eyes of Moses, right, Look at this, right in front of Moses. And before the eyes of all the assemblies of the sons of Israel. Look at that. This is a power play, just like Korah. When they were weeping at the entrance of the tent of meetings, God, he went right by the tent of meetings. And Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest saw it. So he rose up out of the midst of the assembly and took a spear in his hand and went in after the man of Israel into the pleasure tent.
So and you wonder what that was.
And thrust both of them through, the man of Israel and the woman, in her parts of shame. So the plague was restrained from against the sons of Israel. Look at Phinehas. Then was it found that they who had died by the plague were 24,000. How many people is that?
24,000.
Then spake Yahweh unto Moses, saying, Phinehas, son of Eleazar, son of Aharon, the priest, hath turned back my wrath from against the sons of Israel. There's a mediator. And that he was jealous with my jealousy and in their midst, so that I made not an end of the sons of Israel in my jealousy. Wherefore say, behold me, giving unto him my covenant of peace, so shall I prove to be unto him and unto his seed after him the covenant of our aged body and priesthood, because he was jealous for his Elohim, and did put a propitiatory covering over the sons of Israel by putting somebody to death. Now just remember, Christ, when he was coming into Jerusalem, what were they saying?
Hosanna.
Yeah, Hosanna to the highest. Laying their mantles down. These were Hebrews, the religious people who went to church, went to the synagogue. Hosanna to the highest. About 3 days later, what were they saying?
Crucify him.
Crucify him.
Yeah.
Who were the... And what did the Gentiles want? Pilate wanted to let him go.
Yeah.
The Gentile wanted to let him go. He didn't say anything wrong. He's a good taxpayer. The religious people crucified because he spoke
the truth.
Things, yeah, he spoke the truth and not what they wanted to hear. How about the Apostle Paul? And so that's with Christ, that's Luke 19, 35 to 40, and then Luke 23, 20 to 23. And then in Paul, Acts 19, 8 through 12, he had in 2 years, all of Asia heard the word of Yahweh. He debated with them. And Ephesus is one of them because Asia is Ephesus. Ephesus is in Asia. That's Acts 19:1. But in 2 Timothy 1:15, on his going out, he says, all Asia has left me. Mm-hmm. So it's not the size of your church. It's not the size of what they even say. It's whether they agrees with this. Or if they're silent on this. And so silence can be deafening. Mm-hmm. When they do not make a stand. And so most people will not speak. They will not speak against the wickedness because afraid to offend some of the people, mm-hmm. in my opinion, who are financially giving to them. And so they feel that money will leave if they offend them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You point out, like some of you earlier used to say, the same people were saying Hosanna, Hosanna, 3 days later saying crucify him,
yeah.
Because it was popular.
Yeah. And they're weak. Yeah, they're weak.
So you're gonna have masses are gonna try to peer pressure. What's popular saying now? Like even now with the homosexuality and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's not popular to stand for the word.
Yeah. But we stand it up and we're gonna take your generation and by doing that, be a Phinehas, be a Moses, and Nehemiah.
We all teach each other too. It's like I said before, Israel and Shauna getting rid of cable and watch it, you know, I can remember Israel saying, well, why don't we watch this show, and I was like, oh, in my head.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I thought,
we're still filming, so we'll talk afterwards. So we'll go ahead and pray and get to hear from our Father. So I will give a prophecy to the viewers first, and then we'll have speaking in tongues and interpreting from everybody else. So Father, we thank you for these words according to 1 Corinthians 14. As you put on my words of faith and my words of reward, my words of truth, my words that are sanctified, they will set you free as they've always set millions and billions of people free in the past. So meditate upon my words, but my true words is what I'm looking for, not the traditions of men. Which shall captivate you, which shall bind you, which shall put you into a dungeon, into darkness. Come to my word, my written word, and consume it with all of your might so you may have the direction and the compass to go in the right direction.